What up, what up, what up? This is another episode of Rise and Pod. Today, I am getting on the mic to have a discussion a little bit about programming and not just, you know, what your programming should look like, but almost how your programming should feel. And this is not necessarily for competitors. It's for every human that enjoys constantly varied functional movements executed at a high intensity. I also want to share that even if you don't like constantly varied functional movements at a high intensity and you like linear progressions and you like progress over time and you like to chase PRs and you like to be in the best shape of your life, but you like to do it in a way that allows you to be relatively pain-free, that allows you to feel good, that allows your joints a chance to recover, that allows your central nervous system a chance to reboot and allows your musculature to attain a level of arousal that looks good and not flat and overrun. The discussion is about a post that I made just the other day that in some way, shape, or form summarizes the following statement. Your programming should leave you with the desire for more on some days. If you go into the gym every day and you leave every day and you feel completely exhausted, you're not following a good program. If your program never leaves you feeling like you want a little bit more or you wish there was another piece here or another piece there, your programming is over-programmed. That means there is too much quote-unquote stuff in there. Or perhaps you're chasing just hard workouts. Now, this rant or this episode needs some context. When you jump into CrossFit, or you jump into HIIT style training. Maybe you don't even follow CrossFit. But when you do this, typically you fall in love with the endorphin dump, the sweat, the unexplored effort that you put in initially. A lot of people come from a sedentary lifestyle where they feel alive from this style of training. It brings them great joy and happiness and a sense of fulfillment, a great sense of fulfillment. A lot of people start to associate a purpose with this type of fulfillment. It gives them more purpose in the rest of the avenues of their life. It gives them bravery. It gives them confidence. It gives them that sense of accomplishment that just makes them proud and therefore happy with who they are and the effort they're putting into things. So by no means am I talking down to people who chase this on a regular basis. By no means am I trying to make you feel bad about wanting or desiring this style of training. But what I'm trying to do is bring an awareness to your body is not a machine. And just because you like to do hard things doesn't mean you should do hard things in the form of your hard training every day. Every day that you walk in the gym, the stimulus shouldn't feel like Fran. For those of you that don't know, Fran is 21-15-9, thrusters and pull-ups. In the CrossFit community, this is a very popular benchmark workout, one that for many years at the level one certificate course, we had the participants go through so that they understood the stimulus of what CrossFit was really like. Now, those movements complement each other where one is a squatting and a pressing movement and the other is an upper body pulling movement. So tremendous amounts of power can be put out here. Even for lower conditioned athletes who don't have much stamina, they have an opportunity to express a lot of power if it's scaled appropriately. We're talking a workout that lasts 6 or 7 minutes and below. And for the elite level, they're doing it under 2 minutes and close to 2.5 minutes. Sub three, we'll say. So it's very hard. And the feeling that a lot of people get from that when they go as hard as they can, it's what people really like. And to some of you, you're like, nah, man, miss me with that. I don't want that kind of intensity. That seems absolutely ridiculous and too fast. Well, the people who commonly come to CrossFit gyms and fall in love with it, that's what they like. Now, I'm going to talk through this journey a little bit. And I did have a video. If you guys don't follow me on social media, please do so at @AdrianConway_ on Instagram. I try to make short snippet videos there. And of course, a lot of these longer format podcasts originate from some of those videos. I try to allow my content that I create to overlap in some way, shape, or form where I might not get an opportunity to have a 10-minute or 20-minute discussion about varying intensity or programming structure on social media, but I can make some bold statements about it and then have a more in-depth conversation about it here. So contextually, when people start CrossFit again, they love intensity and they chase it headlong. And then at some point, what happens is they understand what creates a lot of pain and they're willing to go there periodically, but they back off of the intensity. So a workout that could potentially take them 7 minutes might take them 7 minutes and 45 seconds or 8 minutes instead. And you might say like, wow, that's not that big a deal. I don't understand what the problem is there. But you would actually be really surprised at the difference in effort that you have to put out in order to significantly decrease the time to complete a task, particularly in that time domain. So people do this, right? And what this leads to often is that they finish a workout and they don't feel as fatigued or run down as they used to. So what do they want? They want more. So let's do this 8 to 12 minute conditioning piece, but then let's also add in this skill work piece and then maybe a part two. Or tomorrow, let's do strength work. Let's build, do a heavy X, Y, or Z. And then let's also do a 15 minute conditioning piece. Again, what I want you to understand is that the way that we structure our programming for Train to Rise Up, a lot of our programming is structured this way. But not for the everyday athlete and not all the time. So what I want to bring to a head here in regards to the conversation and to bring it to my primary focal point is that intensity is what brings us the great results. If you listen to the previous episodes, you hear me rant about and lay out the formal quote from Coach Glassman about why intensity gives us what we like. And it has to do with the reference of power, making large loads travel long distances and doing it quickly. And the CrossFit affiliate nowadays, it's becoming very popular for athletes and clients to demand that the full hour is structured with training. And what I mean by that is that they want to open up the app, they want to go to the whiteboard, they want to go to whatever form of distribution the gym uses, the affiliate uses to show them their programming, and they want to see part A, part B, part C, or part one, two, and three, or part A through D, right? And what they hope is that one is a warm-up perhaps, one is skill and drill work, one is some lifting, and then a little conditioning piece or a moderate conditioning piece. All of that is fine and well, but you can't have it every day. And what happens is as we continue to tell ourselves that we need to feel a certain way to get a certain result, we're tremendously misled, right? And in our space historically, even at the level one, we really lean into helping people understand the value of just doing a workout like Elizabeth, and that's it for the day. In an hour, you're going to do a workout that is 21:15:9 squat cleans and ring dips. And that's it for an hour. And people are like, well, coach, what kind of stimulus is that? What is it going to be? Well, first and foremost is I want you to take a look at who's leading your classes. Are they really a leader? Are they really a teacher? And if they're not those things, this is going to highlight some things in your own brain. A lot of gyms program fluff because they actually don't have great leaders and they need an opportunity to, instead of going deeper in the knowledge and expression of knowledge to the clients and athletes about the squat clean and the ring dip and scaling variations and how to increase your performance and the different ways to do that and captivate an audience that could be as diverse as someone who's been doing CrossFit for 10 years and someone who's been doing CrossFit for 4 days, because that's a unique skill set in itself as well, is can you keep a member engaged for an hour when it's only 21:15:9 that's been around for 10 years? Or do they look at you and understand that, well, you might not be continuing your education. Well, you only know the same amount that you knew 3 years ago as a coach and as a leader. And, you know, they're bored. So of course their feedback's going to be like, hey, there's not enough here. But if you're a good leader, if you continue to pursue the ranks of level one, level two, level three, level four, if you go outside of the scope of CrossFit to educate yourself, get your CSCS, get your USAW, you invest not only in yourself, but in your members, you're going to have so much in your back pocket. So much in your brain that it's going to be hard for only an hour even to get the most out of a 10-person class when you do just Elizabeth. You're going to find yourself needing to plan and format class structures so that you can maximize what you can teach and also maximize what they're going to get in return from being a part of your class. Folks, when there's movements like a squat clean and a ring dip, you should be refining the movement and the technical proficiency of the squat clean. You should be priming them to discover what type of weight and what type of load they should use, how they should be cycling it. And guess what? When you teach that, that means you got to see it. You got to see them do it so that you can then lay out the foundational improvements that they need to make. Hey, the bar's getting away from you here, Bill. Pull the bar higher into you. Make your elbows go high and outside. Look at me. This is what you're doing. This is what I need you to do, right? Coach, cue. fix, correct. And then with the rain dip, maybe we're going through some strengthening exercises. They don't need to be listed on the program. It doesn't need to say 5x3 ring dip for you as a coach to take the ownership on, okay, hey, you know what? I have a lot of members who are not going to be able to RX this ring dip today. How can I get them closer to RXing a ring dip? And you don't want to build up too much undue fatigue before we start Elizabeth as a test. But what you need to have the opportunity to do there is to look at each client, go through ring dips. You need to understand where they're at in their journey. Okay, Cindy could do 3 in a row. Let's see if I can teach her how to kip a few, like a slight knee lift or a slight heel to the bum in order to distribute her body weight a touch so that she can actually reach lockout and hold it for each rep. And maybe now she's going to do sets of 6 or sets of 7. And now she can almost do 21:15:9 and RX this workout. There might be other athletes that have none, and you're going to explain to them and teach them and show them what a ring dip looks like strict, what a ring dip looks like kipping, what it might look like for scaling. Maybe it's jumping to support. Maybe it is utilizing a band of some sort. Maybe it is for other athletes that need more dramatic scaling back. It's understanding the progression of a bench dip. Or if you have matador bars, you could use a matador. You could put people between boxes that lack the stability, but they need to understand what it feels like to have their weight centered between their arms and be down there hanging in between. So they're strong enough to maybe press themselves out, but they don't have a lot of exposure to rings and they're more comfortable there and confident there. And maybe they can hit the rep scheme 21:15:9 between boxes, and you scale the jumping ring dips the last time that they scaled. Again, there's a million and one things that are going through my mind as a leader, as a real leader and guider of these people in their fitness journey. And it's for each and every athlete. Bill, how'd you scale ring muscle ups last time? Or how'd you scale ring dips last time? Okay, awesome. Well, let's give this a try. Can you show me a few? Great. Hey, Cindy, how's that setup going over there for the box? Again, there are so many things taking place in a class. How dare you be under the assumption that every day there should be 3 pieces of a workout? Because if there are 3 pieces of a workout, you are not being coached, you are not being guided, you're not being progressively taken through what you need day in and day out. Coach, you're a leader. You got to have time to lead. You got to have time to refine. You got to have time to demonstrate. You got to have time to correct. Then you have time to set up for what's about to take place. 3, 2, 1, go. The intensity begins. Now let's see what they got. But most of the coaching and most of your job has to take place around and before the intensity takes place. Yes, there are some cues that you can throw at an athlete and a client to help them enhance their performance, or a great reminder to refine their technique during a hard strength training piece or during a hard conditioning piece, but it's few and far between. The real improvement in your clientele growth, if you have got, sorry, this is another rant, but if you have got several members at your gym who don't have double unders, and they've been at your gym for years and they can jump more than 5 inches off the ground or 6 inches off the ground, that's on you. Coach, that is on you. Because why aren't you talking to them about why they don't have double unders? Why aren't you challenging them to invest in their own jump rope to become familiar with it? You don't care about their fitness? You don't want them to progress? If you're a gym member who's gone to a gym for several years and you don't have double unders and you're not really close to being able to string together several sets in a workout, I think you're at a bad gym. And I'm saying that with also a grain of salt. I'm not judging them and the way they clean and the way they program and the way they do, but I don't know if these people actually care or invested in your personal journey. Maybe the gym's too big. Maybe you always go to a class that has 20 or 30 members and there's only one coach, maybe two, one and an assistant. I don't know, but maybe they don't know you personally enough or care to push your journey forward, because the whole reason you sign up there is because you wanted to have progress. You wanted to be able to lose the weight that you desired. You wanted to be able to gain the weight that you desired. But all in all, you need to be able to perform workouts that are prescribed better in order to reach those goals. And that's part of the bottom line. As I bring this back, the big reminder here is that if we program too much in any one 60-minute block or every day 60-minute block, we don't have the opportunity to be coached, to learn, to adapt and change our movement, and to actually make the improvements that we can. And that, folks, the bottom line is how we continue to improve the amount of power or grow the amount of power that we express and put out in our training day in and day out. So should your programming every day have strength and then conditioning and then a cool down and then a, right? And all of it, A, B, C, D, E. No, it shouldn't. Periodically, can it? Absolutely. On many days throughout a 10, 14-day cycle, you should feel like, oh man, I wish there was one more thing. I wish there was something else. Oh man, I can't believe all we're going to do is skill work and then 30 ring muscle-ups for time. My legs didn't even do anything. I didn't even do anything hard on my legs today. Wow, folks, crazy. That's okay. It doesn't need to be the same every day, right? When you walk in the gym and you're like, oh man, that was a good workout, coach. That was a really great workout. You know what that tells me as a programmer? It means that that was your flavor and that's what you like. And if you hadn't told me that the other 3 days, I still don't care. And I'm actually not even valuing your opinion that much about how today was a good workout because it was just your wheelhouse or just the kind that you like. And that's okay, but that's not why you're here. You don't always get what you want. You come here to get what you need. And I think that there also can be blurred perspectives on how to lead this, how to create this type of perspective for your members when you are the leader, but the members are paying your bills, right? You don't let the inmates run the asylum though. Okay. And that's a bit of a, probably a misaccurate parallel to draw, but the person that's in charge is in charge for a reason. The person that has the credentials to coach the class and lead the class is there for a reason. The person that owns the gym is invested and took the risk for a reason. Lead. So now we're in this discussion, and I'm going to come down off my rant horse just a little bit, but we're in the thick of this discussion of how much is too much. Should you always be lifting and then, right? And the answer is no and yes, and there's no right way. If your programming is constantly varied, and you don't touch barbells every day of the week, and you try to vary your strength work, I think it's awesome. I think it's really awesome to structure affiliate programming that doesn't squat every Monday and Wednesday just because we're on a squat cycle. Because you know what? In your affiliate, there's people who can't come every Monday and Wednesday. And then there's some people who come Mondays and not Wednesdays. And there's some people who come never on Mondays and Wednesdays because of life and their schedule. So for me, the way that I love to lay out programming is to really look at how many times are we touching a barbell? How many times over the course of a 4 to 5 week period are we doing strength training and then, or conditioning and then strength training, or program specified skill work and a conditioning piece, or program specified double under practice and then whatever, right? When I do programming for an affiliate, I actually allocate time for these things. So the members will see, hey, we're going to spend 10 minutes of jump rope practice today. And I'm going to make sure that coach spends 10 minutes of jump rope practice because they might not know that's something they need to do. Well, they're going to know. Because if you don't do that, folks, the stimulus of 50 double unders and the stimulus of 100 single unders to double the double under work is not equal and not even close. The neurological adaptation that's taking place for the athlete that's doing the 50 double unders is exponentially higher. The power output, exponentially higher. The force that they put into the ground to jump a little bit higher, to spin the rope twice every time, way higher, right? So to think that, oh, we're going to double the reps and then we're going to spin the rope 100 times, not even close. And oh, by the way, when you do those 100 double single unders, because you're not jumping as high and you're there longer at the rope, your heart rate drops a little bit. And yes, it might take you longer at the rope, but that means the intensity drops on everything else that's taking place, the rig work, the barbell work. And then guess what? Your grip's not as fatigued as the person that did the double unders. Folks, they're exponentially getting fitter than you. You should be offended by this. And I'm not saying it should make you unhappy, but I'm saying it should make you hungry to gain the skill. It should make you hungry to want to RX the movement. It should make you hungry to want to RX the workout. If your workouts every day are programmed in such a way, in a 60-minute window, where 40 minutes of those are literally working out the whole time, you got no time to teach. You got no time to improve. You got no time to check in with your members. So vary that stuff, folks. Sprinkle in the dumbbells, sprinkle in the kettlebells, get away from the barbells. We tend to use them too much. Give folks what they want sometimes. Give them what they need most times. Don't be afraid to breathe hard and breathe heavy. Don't forget about the foundation of the pyramid that Coach Glassman designed, the theoretical hierarchy of development of an athlete. It starts with nutrition. Metabolic conditioning was the next piece. The next piece is body weight, gymnastics work. Then and only then do we get to weightlifting and throwing. And then above that is sport combining and putting together all three of what makes CrossFit CrossFit. But spend more time talking about nutrition. I know this is a part of the discussion that probably wasn't intended on getting discussed a ton with you guys, but I mean, I think that nutrition isn't spoken about enough within our community. I think that every gym should have like 3 to 4 nutrition coaches that are completely maxed out with guiding people along their fitness journey. Folks, if you spend $150 to $300 a month on your fitness to go to a gym, to go train every day, and then you just put in your body whatever you want, or you go about it with a lack of intentionality that doesn't allow you to get the results that you want in that $150 to $300 investment every month, I think it's foolish. I think it's silly that you spend an hour of your day joining a great community, pushing yourself really hard, and then don't care about what you put in your body. I think you should know. I think you should stick to really basic stuff like eat meats and veggies, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, and no sugar. And I think you should probably be accountable to someone to do those things. I don't know that in today's world that high-level success can happen on your own. If it's you and your spouse at home and you got this family structure and you're going after it in a really healthy way and you do it together, that's awesome. That can really bear some fruits. If it's you're part of a challenge group and you're trying to rise up by losing some weight and watching what you eat for the course of a certain amount of time, I think that could be awesome. But I think those things should happen periodically and pretty often. And I also think that for a lot of people, particularly people that struggle with carrying too much body fat, that struggle with body weight movements, that want to RX pull-ups, that want to RX a handstand hold, that want to figure out what it feels like to do a handstand push-up or a handstand walk or a single leg pistol RX, or a toes to bar, or be able to hang from the rig with one arm for a few seconds, and they can't do those things, I think nutrition should be a really high point of emphasis for those members. And I don't know that affiliate owners or head coaches are even bringing this up on a regular basis. So I think there's a real beauty in having more freedom in your class to get an intended stimulus to help athletes continue to have high power outputs every day and not moderate power outputs with higher volume every day. Because we know that intensity is what brings us good results, especially with strength training and especially with shorter conditioning pieces. So I'm going to end this rant for today, folks. I wanted to get on here and go about 20 minutes and I went longer. Surprise, surprise. But the beauty is if you're interested in affiliate programming, yours truly right here, Train to Rise Up. We have an affiliate program that is in its infancy. So feel free to reach out to us, send us an email. We can get you some example days of programming and what that might look like from a relationship standpoint, but reach out to us, ask questions, send us a DM to @TTRUFitness on Instagram, or feel free to email us at info@truefitness.com. That's info@TTRUFitness.com. Thank you guys so much for tuning into these episodes. Please subscribe. And if you happen to watch this stuff on my YouTube channel, hit the like button. And I'll have plenty more content coming your way. But thanks, guys. Have a great day. Keep rising.